20 years ago, we would have had a very different discussion about maps. We might, for example, have talked to a physicist about why it seems so hard to fold maps back to the shapes they came in. But we're way past paper maps now. Every smartphone has access to a world of maps that can be navigated with the fingers. How do map makers keep up? Let's ask. This month's edition of our research segment with the University of Oregon, called Curious, visits the Infographics Lab at the U of O, which makes maps and other graphics for a wide variety of uses. Jim Meacham is a senior research associate in the U of O Geography Department and the co-founder and executive director of the Infographics Lab, co-founder with Bill Loy. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jim. Good to have you.
Thanks, Jeffrey. It's really great to be on Jefferson Public Radio.
Let's start with maps, which are always fascinating to me. How far has the technology come along since the lab started 30 years ago?
Well, I think back in 30 years ago, one of the biggest challenges was having enough digital data and capturing that digital data. Now we have a lot of data, and it's how do we make maps that communicate well, and how do we analyze and store that data and tell stories with it that are relevant for today's challenges. So it's really shift to from not very much data that was in digital form to now it's the challenges of dealing with enormous amounts of data.
Do you have to include it all? I mean, I wonder if there are projects in which you have so much data, you just say, you know what, we can leave this layer off. It's not really adding anything to it, and it's just slowing down our rendering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really one of the things as cartographers that we really work on in the design process is figuring out, you know, how much simplification or selection and, you know, what's the key data sets that most effectively tell that story and make the maps communicate well and accessible to a broader audience or the audience that you're intending.
So when you look at the process that you're in now, where you can actually leave some information on the cutting room floor, in a sense, because you got enough to make a map, when you think about people who made maps in the age before all this digital information, I mean, I'm just astonished sometimes when I look at renderings of the world back from you know, the 1700s, and they're remarkably accurate considering the fact that we didn't have things like aerial photography back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they... you know, a lot of time went in those maps, and the survey techniques that they used, you know, is the foundation of today's measurement too. So they applied those, and they would spend, you know, lifetimes creating some of those maps. And I'm astonished on how accurate they are. Like the Noli map of Rome from the 1700s, mm-hmm. we've compared that with modern day aerial photography and imagery, and it's just remarkable.
All right,
a testament to the work that those early cartographers put in.
And they really did put a lot of time. Well, as you mentioned, a lifetime of work in some cases. So not, you know, obviously a shorter route now, and you didn't start that humbly at the Infographics Lab, but I looked at the poster with the timeline of the lab, and you did start fairly humbly, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, one of our first projects was converting the Oregon State Highway map from a manual product to a digital, and that turned out to be my master's research in the technological transition that took place with that. The process that I came up with working with colleagues, you know, that lasted for 10 years of updating the highway map, and then we converted it from one technology software to another into GIS about 10 or 15 years later, and they're still using that methodology for making the map. So it was really an exciting time going from that technological transition from manual to digital. And of course, over the last 30 years, things have changed, as we were just talking about, in dramatic ways.
Jim Meacham is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of Curious, where research meets radio. He's a senior research associate in the Geography Department at the U of O and the co-founder and executive director of the Infographics Lab. Questions about maps and map making and what goes on at the lab? Join us at 800-838-3760 with your questions and comments. They can also go to email at jx@jeffnet.org. So Jim, when the Infographics Lab started, what was the stated purpose and mission?
The mission that Bill Loy had laid out was to do a second edition of the Atlas of Oregon, and we wanted to have capacity. The first Atlas came out in the mid-70s, and it was considered the standard, the gold standard in state atlases at the time. And he wanted to do a second edition and use digital technology. That's when I came on board, and we started building capacity and came up with, and we published, produced and published the second edition with Allen Cartography, with Stuart Allen, which is located in Medford.
Yeah, I've been there.
Worked on that project with Bill Loy and Stuart Allen, and that's where I really cut my teeth on high-quality atlas making. And that atlas was published in 2001, and we've continued that atlas making tradition up till today. We just released the Wild Migrations Atlas of Wyoming Ungulates, which brings together a lot of that remarkable digitally captured GPS data that we have on animals moving through the landscape.
So do people hire the Infographics Lab? I mean, did the University of Wyoming come to you guys and say, hey, can you help us with this?
Yeah, Matt Kaufman, who I'll mention, was from Cave Junction, and also a U of O duck. He got his biology degree here. He directs the Wyoming Migration Initiative. He called me up after we had completed the Atlas of Yellowstone and said, hey, I want to do something like that for all this data that we're collecting on the movement of deer and elk and pronghorn and bighorn sheep, and tell those stories of the history, information about what we understand now about their ecology and the importance of migration for their survival.
Well, and I understand that some of the mule deer set records in their travels in Wyoming.
Yeah, one of the exciting things that happened during this project as we were working on it was, by the way, a six-year project. So even though maps are faster to make, it still takes a long time to produce these publications. But Hall Sawyer, who works with the Wyoming Migration Initiative, he was working with Wyoming Game and Fish, were tracking mule deer in the Red Desert, which is south, kind of on the southern end of western Wyoming, and they thought it was a population that just migrated up into the elevationally to some of the local mountains, but they soon discovered that these mule deer had traveled 150 miles all the way up to the Hoback, which is near Jackson Hole, and it was just remarkable. And they didn't realize that this was going on. It really opened up their eyes to, wow, these animals are making migrations really on the same level as like the wildebeest in Africa. It's kind of at that level of magnificence. And we need to do something to help protect these. You know, they have to cross hundreds of fences and dozens of road crossings and all sorts of obstacles. And we have an opportunity here to help preserve or conserve those migration corridors so these animals can survive. But it was really quite remarkable. A film was produced that was on the National Geographic Showcase, where we've had over 7 million views on it, and it kind of got the word out. So the maps really helped communicate that story and led to some success stories in conserving areas where there's like bottlenecks, opening up some gates, and then thinking about the importance of protecting those corridors. So there's the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission has started a process to help recognize the importance of those corridors and analyze them.
So as you mentioned, I mean, it's not just a picture of the landscape. You get a story that gets told by a map, and this is a really compelling one in this recent project.
Yeah, and there's the Atlas has, the Wild Migrations Atlas has like 70 different stories throughout in the Atlas. Everything like stopovers are really important for ungulates, just like they are for migrating birds. Some species, like the mule deer, can spend 95% of their time in stopover, which means that they're following what they call the green wave, which means as vegetation elevationally and latitudinally greens up as spring comes on, and the animals follow that, and they're smart, and they have a they have a memory and history and culture to follow that green wave and follow the same paths. Well, if you put some sort of a rural development right in the middle of one of those important stopovers where they need to stop and feed, then it can have devastating effects on their survival.
We're talking to Jim Meacham, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Infographics Lab at the University of Oregon, about the Infographics Lab. That's this month's focus in our research segment, Curious, Research Meets Radio, with the University of Oregon. You can join us with your questions about maps and map making and the stories they tell and all the gobs of information that go into them. 800-838-3760 to come in by phone or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So Jim, you were talking about, for example, how the ungulate migration pattern in Wyoming are tracked by these maps. And I just wonder if you have often been there when people use maps to make their cases. It's like, look, we have this much old growth left, or like, look how much has gone, or, all the ways in which people can use maps to make their cases. I mean, I wonder what that feels like if you're in the room when people pull out your maps and say, well, you see what this shows?
Yeah. well, I've been out there on some captures, and we've had the maps there, and it really brings people together. I mean, it's common information there, and people have different perspectives on the importance of conserving these animals. It gives them a baseline to really say, okay, oh look here, yeah, there's a priority area that we can all kind of come together and say, yeah, that's important. We should conserve that area. Here's some recommendations. I think maps bring people together. There's a power to maps that the maps communicate that story as well as or better than other media, and that allows for progress in understanding what the situation on the landscape is, and then moving forward with a process to preserve these ungulate migrations, but also balance that with the other competing needs on the landscape. And so I've seen that, and it these maps really give that baseline for different folks with different perspectives to find common ground.
So you haven't at least gotten into the zone of journalists where people argue about the stuff you're conveying. You're still pretty rock solid, it sounds like, as an institutional source of information.
That's what we try to be. Yeah, we want to provide the information, but also we do care and are passionate about what we're mapping. And so I think one of the goals of this atlas is not to prescribe conservation, but to give the information needed to that helps the process of conserving these important resources, and it's authoritative. This is an authoritative, comprehensive atlas. The Yellowstone atlas that we produced a few years back is the same sort of thing. Let's take that information, that's the science, and the scholarship that's in the file cabinets and databases, and get it out there to the public to create a better understanding, a deeper appreciation for these important areas, these important places to us, and the important phenomena out there in the landscape, like ungulates and migration. So, and then people can make better decisions and just understand what's at stake and understand the geography of where they live.
So, Jim Meacham, how big is the lab? I mean, it sounds like you have a mix of researchers and cartographers there. So, I mean, how is the lab staffed?
We have three full-time staff people, including myself, a cartographer, Alethea Steingesser, who's one of the authors on the Wild Migrations and Atlas of Yellowstone, and then Joanna Merson, who's a web developer, web cartographer, who's helping us really move into that area in much more innovative ways of animations and web applications and mobile applications. And then a big part of what the lab, big component of the lab is students. We have graduate students and undergraduates working on all these projects. And it's really a training ground for them too, and it complements all the coursework that they're getting in geography and other fields at the university. And it prepares them well to move out into the world. We have two two students that have worked on the wild migrations that are working at National Geographic, and you can see their name in the magazine or other maps that are produced by National Geographic, and another is at the Washington Post, and she's doing outstanding work there, Lauren Tierney, who's from Klamath Falls.
Oh, wow.
And so she received her undergrad and her master's here at the Geography Department and worked in the infographics lab through that whole time period and went on to National Geographic and then went to the Washington Post. So that's one of the most rewarding things about working on these projects is working with students and developing their skills and allowing or helping them along to reach their career goals.
How big a challenge at the infographics lab to A, keep up with technology, and B, keep up with the demands of the public? I mean, the way that people use maps has changed so much. I mean, you need to create maps that have new features when you zoom and stuff like that that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, no, it is a big challenge. And that's why we work with graduate students that are doing research, and we learn from them, and I learn from my staff, and I can't keep up on all that stuff, but I can definitely understand, what are the problems we want to solve, and who knows who are the people that know the technology best, and attending conferences, and then keeping up with our other colleagues, and just being in the loop, and constantly training, doing webinars, and that sort of thing helps us keep our edge. And sometimes we're ahead of the curve, and sometimes we're behind and learning. Over the last 30 years, that's been the case. But we've been very solid in thinking about cartographic design, and that's an atlas design, and that's a foundation for us. And then the technology evolves through time, and we evolve with it. Or we help, push the boundaries. That's been our role, and it's worked well for 30 years.
And so, just about a minute left, so I got time for one more question, Jim Meacham, which is how many projects at a time are you generally juggling at the Infographics Lab?
Well, probably anywhere from a half a dozen to a dozen. It seems like right now we work with state agencies. We're working on tsunami evacuation map. A redesign of those, and that's very exciting. Oregon Parks and Recreation bike loops, scenic bike loops, maps, and so there's a couple projects there, and then we have probably about five projects working with different supporting faculty research. Some are larger, some a lot of variety of time scale, and we started a second edition of the Atlas of Yellowstone, which to be published for the 150th anniversary. So that's probably one of our bigger, and then an Atlas of the Olympic Peninsula, which is in a prototype stage right now. So there's kind of a handful and sampling, but
okay.
We have students working on all those projects, and it is kind of it's a juggling,
all kinds of things
juggling
going on.
Act, but it's exciting, and we have students involved in all those projects.
Jim Meacham, co-founder, executive director of the Infographics Lab at the University of Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us in this month's Curious segment.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.